Jeremiah, who had been prophesying that destruction would come. It did come. Now they're lamenting. And he's giving some instructions during the difficult times. But in Lamentations chapter 3, and let's look at verse 26, and my text will be 27. In fact, we'll begin at verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And my text is, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Excuse me, my text is verse 27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Brother Jim Haynes, would you ask God's blessings, please?
Lord, we thank you today for Brother Connor. We pray your anointing upon him. We thank you for the word that he is going to minister to us. We pray, Lord, that you'll bring blessing to each and every one that's here today. Lord, your strength, your power, your victory in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I don't know if you remember the story when the father of Saul was Kish, and Kish lost, he had some donkeys that ran away. So he sent his son Saul, who was the future king of Israel, and Saul's servant to seek out these lost donkeys that had run away. And as Saul and the servant was looking for them, they came across a greater find. And that greater find was Samuel the prophet. And that little story is so true. Have you ever lost something or misplaced something because you can't remember where you put it? In fact, my wife told me today that one of the things about getting older is you forget things, and I'm forgetting so much, I could throw myself a surprise party. But if you ever look for something and you can't find it, but in the looking for it, you find something else that you had misplaced and said, well, there you are. And now you're glad that you found something you weren't looking for, but at least you did find something. Well, in a similar way, this week, starting the week, I began to pray and seek the Lord for today. And the Lord began to speak to me, and I began to think about a message I preached maybe 35 years ago. And I thought, well, I'm going to look that up. And as I was looking it up and trying to find it, I found this sermon. And that's often the same way as when you lose something, you look for it, and you don't find it, but you find something else. Well, this message this morning is a result of trying to find something else, and I came across this one. And it is found in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Now, my mind immediately, when I saw that word yoke, I thought of the words of Jesus when Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And Jesus, when he used that illustration that farmers knew quite well, the yoke had two holes in it for the pair of oxen, or whatever the pair may be. And Jesus is inviting us, when he used the word yoke, for us to come alongside of him. I don't think that God wants us pushing him. And I don't think God wants to pull us. I think God wants us to work right beside him and work, we're co-laborers together. And Jesus was inviting, saying, listen, I'm in this one and I want you to come alongside me and work right alongside with me. But the word yoke in Lamentations obviously was written hundreds of years before Christ came. And I don't think they're thinking of the words of Jesus, of his meaning of the word yoke. Lamentations, meaning lamenting, weeping and sorrowing, which they did after the captivity was taking place. Some scholars believe it was maybe 588 years before Christ came. But still, these words, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth, do have some great truths in them that I believe we could apply today. And they are words of comfort, especially when you read the few verses before, and they're comforting words. In verse 26, it says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord, that they were going to need to do. And then he said, "It is, but while we're waiting, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." To approach this text and to try to get some application, meaning I looked at it and I backed off and was a little bit overwhelmed. I didn't know if I could really bring out the full meaning of what the Holy Spirit was trying to suggest. I remember many, many years ago when we were living in White Salmon, there was the neighbor's house, and I remember he had asked me to watch over his place while he was gone on vacation, so I was on his back deck just looking over the place when his backyard, there was about 7 or 8 wild turkeys, and it caught my attention. I'm watching these wild turkeys, and they're doing what turkeys do. And I don't ask me what they do, but they do it well. And next to the turkeys was a big boulder, and I looked, and behind the boulder was a cat, not quite fully grown, but wasn't a kitten either. And I could tell that cat knew that those turkeys were on the other side of that boulder. And that cat somehow felt that it was going to just take on them turkeys. And I watched that cat, and he's prowling along, and there's this rock, and all of a sudden he didn't know that there was a big old tom turkey right on the other side of the rock. And that cat, he jumped up on that rock and looked square in the face at that tom turkey. And that tom turkey wasn't intimidated a bit by the little cat and just looked at it, and the cat looked and saw how big that tom turkey was. It was no ordinary little bird, and that was so cute to watch that cat just back off, back down behind the boulder. And I thought, yeah, you bit off more than you could chew. And I thought of that as I was looking at this, and Lord, I want to bring out the meaning, and I hope I haven't bitten off more than I can chew. But he says in our text that it is good that a young man bear his yoke when he is young. Yoke bearing, which they understood, was an occupation in those days. It was not easy to bear a yoke. Yoke bearing is not pleasant, but it's good, he says. And it is true that not everything that is good for us is pleasant, or do we enjoy it. Work is good, but sometimes work is not enjoyable, but still work is good. And sometimes the goodness to us may be in proportion to the unpleasantness that comes along with it. We came up with an expression kind of similar that says, no pain, no gain. But our text is speaking of yoke bearing. And though it is not comfortable to do so, the text says It may not be comfortable to bear that yoke, but it's still good for you. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. And the illustration is referring to either cattle or oxen or a bullock, and they would go in pairs, and both of them would get within that yoke, and it would be placed upon their shoulders. And that yoke is somewhat burdensome. It's not a lot of fun. It's when man sinned, God said, because of that, you're going to have to work, and there'll be the sweat of your brow, etc. It doesn't mean that it's going to be enjoyable, but it's still good for you. And yet if the bullock or the animal is not broken in when it is young, it will never make a good plowing animal. It will fight the plow if one tries to put that yoke upon that oxen when he's past his youth. And the owner will accomplish very little with this unbroken animal. It must be brought into subjection and learn to fit in the yoke when it is young. And so it is with all kinds of animals. If they're to be trained for a useful purpose, a horse must be broken into, I'm told, when it's young. It's much harder, if not impossible, to try to break them in when they're much older. Or whether it be a dog, a hunting dog, or other such applications we could think of. But this application is so true when we begin to consider Christianity, because it is so important that people come to Christ at an early age. I was looking up the statistic, and it said that 94% of Christians, they made their decision at the age of 18 or less. Most accept Christ under the age of 14. There's what's called the Barna Research. And Barna Research is a place in Ventura where I grew up, and they have given themselves to researching statistics in Christianity. And I looked them up, and they said that 43%, nearly half of all Americans who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, did so before coming to the age of 13 years. 64%, that is 2 out of 3 born-again Christians, accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior before they were 18. 13%, they said, after that it gets harder. 1 out of 8 born-again people made their profession of faith while they were between the ages of 18 to 21 years old. And the teaching is, I think, very plain here. It is half the making of a man to be placed under rule and taught to bear restraint. For when young people become and grow older, they will very much have to be a law unto themselves. When they're younger, they're under the training of their parents and other such authority that God has placed over them. But when they reach a certain age, we say they're on their own. And there may be no father living to warn them, or no loving mother to guide them gently. And now that they've reached a certain age, we say, well, they're on their own. And that is true. But I want us to broaden the meaning of this thought from this text, because the text says that to bear the yoke when you are young is good. You see, they weren't taught Christ to the degree that we were. They made sacrifices which spoke of a coming Savior, that is true. But they understood when this writer wrote in the book of Lamentations, when he referred to a yoke, they're no doubt thinking about the law that was given them, or the precepts found within the law, or the morality that the law has built within it. And it is that they must learn to adhere to it and be taught these precepts and the morality built within the law at an early age. And they must learn to discipline oneself before God at an early age. And to do so early in life, that is a good thing. And the reason is, Because the Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And it is necessary and good to help the child begin to deal with that fallen nature early in life. And to deal with that strong self-will. And to get the strong self-will submitted to the will of God. Or in this case, the law of God and the precepts that are within it. And else, if this is not done, the child will, left unto himself, bring its shame and will go the wrong direction. And so the child must learn self-discipline early in life. That is a good thing, what the author is saying. The child must learn manners early in life. That is a good thing. And the young one must learn to respect the elders when they're young in life. That is a good thing. The young, when they're at that age, must learn to submit to authority, because you're always going to be under somebody's authority, whether you be at home or whether you be on your own. There's always going to be authority, and you better learn how to deal with it when you're young. And know this, if the young one that he's referring to does not learn obedience early in life, then he will never make an effective soldier to face the battles of life that will surely come. How many know that there are battles in life when you leave home? You know, the Apostle Paul, although he did not come to Christ early in his life, at least he had come to know the law and had taken on that yoke and had done a pretty remarkable job. For later, when his apostleship was brought into question, he said, look, concerning the law, I was blameless. And Paul defended his attitude. He had, we know you're not saved by the law, but still the law is good, the Bible teaches. And Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. But Paul, he bore that yoke of the dictates of the law early in life. And so when he did come to have an experience with Christ, he was ahead of the game. He could become a great apostle because he learned to bear the yoke of the law, of things that self-discipline is necessary to deny your will, but to do the will of the dictates that the law had within it. And so the applications found in Lamentation are many. It is good for a young person to develop their minds and to study and to learn to read and write and other important subjects in life when they're young. Because later in life, how many know your mind is not as sharp as it was when you were younger? And it's much harder to learn things when you're older than you could have learned them when you were younger. Our earlier days are more favorable. The mind is sharper. Our energy is greater. Now I walk into a room and I can't remember why I walked into the room. So yoke bearing is not easy. It can be difficult. And so I want us to conclude, it is good for a young person to encounter difficulties and troubles when beginning life. It is not a bad thing for kids to be confronted with problems and challenges that the yoke bearing brings with it. It has been said, and maybe you've heard the expression, the silver spoon which some are born into, if we are not careful, it can choke them. How many have ever heard they're spoiled? They have everything. They got everything they want. That can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing. Wisdom says it is not good for a young person or a child to be removed from problems and toils and difficulties. It's not healthy for a kid to be protected from everything that the yoke bearing brings with it. And so the writer says it is good for the young person to bear the yoke when he's young. I mean no disrespect when I say this, but how many know that the world would, if we listened to it too much, that there can be a very sly temptation from the enemy to spoil our children by sheltering them too much, by catering to their every whim and desire. I just had a pastor call me this past week, and he was frustrated. I said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "Well, we changed our service schedule." And he said, "I had a young couple that said they won't be coming." He asked them why, and they said, "Because our little one needs sleep." The pastor was frustrated. I can understand why. The truth is, in my life, I have not worked as hard as my father did. My father and his generation worked harder than I did. I need a little wave out there. And the generation before my father worked harder than he did and had it more difficult than they did. I remember my dad one time when I was complaining, he said, "You don't know what it is to do without." And he was right. And the generation before my father during the Depression, they had it rough also. Now, of course, in fact, the other day my wife drew my attention to a commentator that I enjoy listening to. He said, "Our kids today are becoming snowflakes." I know what he meant. Now, let me qualify this. Of course, all these things are within reason. But many a man who has succeeded in life, when you talk to people that are up in years and they've succeeded in life and they've walked with the Lord, you will hear them say they are grateful to God for their early years when they had to bear a little bit of poverty and they had some hard work and they had to do without at times. They will say, "You know, it helped shape me to have to do without and to have hard times." That's, you see, bearing a yoke is not easy, but it is good. And listen, God knew what He was doing when He was going to take Israel out of bondage into the promised land. But before they were to go to the promised land, they had to go to the wilderness. And if you'll recall what led them to go to the promised land, before that the wilderness, is God allowed Pharaoh to cause the children of Israel to make bricks without straw. Oh my God, to make bricks without straw. And it's true, that was part of yoke bearing. And the children of Israel begin to complain, "We have to make bricks without straw." But many writers will tell you that God was wise in allowing those hard times to come to the children of Israel to make bricks without straw because it was preparing them for the wilderness. How many know God's what He's doing when the steps of a man are ordered of the Lord? And so, yes, in hindsight, it was really getting them in shape because going through the wilderness was not going to be easy. And you're going to have to be well equipped and prepared for the battles that the wilderness will bring you. And one of the ways that God got them in shape was to allow the Pharaoh and the leadership at the time to cause them to have to make bricks without straw. The Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous. But God doesn't say, "Oh, I must not let the children of Israel be discomforted. I must not let them be dismayed. No, He did not. He allowed that discomfort and that yoke bearing. Though it was not pleasant, it was still good. And so our text says it is good for a young man to bear the yoke when he is young. Remember, the yoke is hard. The yoke wasn't designed to cater to me, but it was designed to make me strong. The yoke, when I'm early in life putting it on, it may weary my shoulders, but it is good. The yoke may make me sore, but it is good. And to be a Christian when you're young is a good thing. This is what we're dealing with in this message. It is good to bear Christ's yoke in one's youth. I'm so grateful. I remember my earliest recollection of coming to the Lord was probably around the age of 3 or 4. I remember an altar call. And at my tender age of 4 years, I remember the Lord dealing with me. And, I was feeling guilty. What could I have possibly done? But I knew I needed God. And then I remember again this happened at the age of 8 years of age. And at those times I remember weeping before the Lord. Oh God, I need you. Oh Lord, help me, save me. Those two dramatic experiences I had, though I did not stay with it, I was in and out, but the yoke was partly on me. But when I was 18 years of age, and I remember going forward, now understanding more of what it meant, I got in that yoke, and it's never come off of me since. But I've looked back and I wonder if I would have responded at the age of 18 years of age the way I did had I not had a little bit of the yoke tasting when I was 4 or 8 years of age. You see, the psalmist says, "Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. Early, early, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." To know Christ's yoke early and to join up with him early will save you from 1,000 snares later in life. I've talked to so many, and I'm sure you have too. I have a very mature congregation. You've come to the Lord. I'm aware of that. Know the state of thy flock. And I have known, and I'm sure you have too, that many that though have come to God, if they lived a life of sin and a life of vice, even though now they have come to the Savior, they still have memories they wish they could forget that still is with them. And they have battles that some don't have simply because they didn't get to know Christ earlier in life. And yes, God's grace rinses your mouth and cleanses your mouth after you have eaten the forbidden fruit, but the flavor is very apt to linger and to return. It's a wonderful thing to see 11th hour conversions. I love it when I see someone come to the Lord late in life, but I must say it is a greater thing to see one converted early in life, and to bear the yoke early in life, and to go to work in his vineyard in the morning time of life when the dew is still fresh on the grass. It's good to come to Christ early. It'll keep you from having your shoulders scarred from the devil's yoke that you have been under for years earlier. To have a whole life to serve God is better. I can't think of a grander sight than to see someone who's up in years and their hairs are gray and their shoulders are stooped and they have served the Lord many, many years from their youth on up. They are planted in the courts of the Lord, the Bible said, shall flourish in the courts of our God. You take a tree and transplant it, it takes time to take root. Brother Henry, I was behind the church the other day and I saw those trees you planted. Hey, you planted them about 9 years ago. They were about this size, but now they're huge. They've become well established. But when it comes to well established fruit trees, they produce a great amount of fruit when they have been in the ground for many years. You see, it must take time for the roots to go down and to bring up deeper and to reach the deeper waters. And there must be time for someone to develop into the deeper things of God. When someone comes to the Lord late in life, well, I rejoice with that. The experience is great, but great truths in God are not to be learned in 10 minutes. I thank the Lord for anyone that's saved. Even if they've only been saved 10 seconds, he is without question a saved man, but he's not an instructed man. He hasn't had time to learn the great things of God. He's not an established man. He's not a man trained for battle. He's not tutored for labor. These things take time. And for this reason, it is good that a young man bear the yoke in his youth. It's a good thing that the prodigal son had been trained to bear his yoke when he was young. You see, when he lived at home, he was under the yoke of his father. He lived at home. He came to an age where he wanted to be on his own. And now when he's away in a far city, one of the reasons he came back was because he remembered what it was like back in his father's house. For now that he's living, he's made his choice and the sin has had its toil on him. When he said, I remember back home in my father, there's bread and enough to spare even for the servants. I've often wondered if he would have responded had he not tasted of the beautiful yoke when he was younger. And for this reason, it is good that we train our children to know the Lord early in life. If they stray, and we pray they don't, but if they do, they have something to draw upon that they had been exposed to earlier. God forbid that one would stray, but at least they have something to look back upon they can draw from and help them come back. And also it's good to bear the yoke when you're young because the battles can get greater in life. The reason David could kill Goliath is because he bore the yoke when he was younger, when he could kill the bear and the lion. And it was for that he drew upon and said, I know I can take this fella out, this uncircumcised Philistine. How dare he defy the armies of the living God? David was drawing on past experience. Oh, may we give our young people all the experience they have in God because they can draw upon it in many ways, in more ways than one. And let me close. There is an assurance that we have. And I'm looking at many of you that have bore the yoke from your youth. And one of the wonderful promises you have that brings blessing to us is that when we are older and you're not able to bear the yoke like you used to. How many have ever heard a horse is out to pasture? And you've seen animals that have been used, but now they put them out. Well, God doesn't in that sense put us out to pasture to where we're no longer usable. But still, the same, the reality is when we get older, we're not able to do what we did when we were younger. And God does not treat you like the world treats you. You see, the world says, I've taken the best years of your life, but I don't need you now. You can't give to me what you gave to me when you were younger. You hear on these news stations, unless you have your beauty, you don't get to be a news anchor. And how many of them we hear when they get up, some of them are let go. Oh, they took the best years of their life, but now when you don't have the beauty, sorry, we have to let you go. I mean, you know, this is all about image and appearance. God does not do that. God remembers that you bore the yoke when you were younger. And we have this promise from God that says, even to your old age, I am He, and even to your hoar hairs will I carry you. What a wonderful promise. And may we put emphasis upon every one of us to serve God with all of our hearts and minds and souls and strength. Because there'll come a day when you may not be able to carry the yoke like you did. But I don't want you to put yourself down. I don't want you to think that you're useless. I want you rather to direct your attention that God will not forget you. And that God loves you. And He is mindful that you gave Him the best years you could when you could. May we, as the Scriptures teach us, put great value on our young and on our elderly, which the world more and more doesn't value the young beginning in the womb and is less and less valuing the elderly. I mentioned in Sunday school class, I have a Mustang. that has been given to me. A 66 Ford Mustang. You see, I had a 65 Mustang when I was in high school. It was a 289. I drove the socks off that car. I beat that car to death. It was so neat when I got that car. I remember driving down in front of the high school when I had been blessed and some were riding the bus, and oh, my vanity, 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 saith the preacher. I'd turn up Folsom Johnny Cash, Folsom Prison Blues, or I'd turn up Creedence Clearwater. I know I'm not supposed to like that, but it was good music. Driving down the road with those all six speakers in my car, just going, and I remember just driving. That's right, I'm bad, I'm bad. Had I known that car was going to be a classic car, I wouldn't have treated it like I did. You need to have Bob Garner tell you his Charger he had where he drove it at an ungodly speed from Santa Cruz to here. All those days of our cars. Here, I've been talking about God all the time. You're like this. Now I'm talking about cars. You wake up. It's just a better illustration. Had I known that car was going to be a classic, I probably would have treated it different. But I got one. My son-in-law gave it to me. I didn't argue with him. Oh, no, 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 no. Go away, go away. It's a classic. This is your pastor's belief. When people enter into heaven, I'm sure there are people waiting, looking for them to come. But I have a conviction. They love it when classics come through the door. People that have lived for God and have served God since their youth. Their car's been restored. They've been renewed. They've lived for God like Caleb. I've wholly followed the Lord. 85 years of age, wanting the promised land. When everybody else was bidding for the land, there's Caleb. Get out of the way, you bunch of whippersnappers. Give me this mountain. And Caleb wholly followed the Lord. I have this conviction that when you people that have lived for God from your youth and you've been renewed, when you walk through the gates, it's like a classic coming through the door. I believe that. I believe when Galen Allen went through the gate, here comes a classic. Aren't you glad you came to God when you were younger? And may we cause our children to bear the yoke in their youth. Would you stand?